Hi guys, I'm back here with chapter 4, recruitment, selection, induction and orientation. Four processes: recruitment, selection, induction and orientation. Yeah, everybody knows what it is. We use these words very loosely. Let's try and understand from the HR point of view. Each of them has got different set of processes which are different from each other. Okay, now what are the objectives? After studying the chapter, you should be able to understand what is recruitment, the importance of recruitment, the process of recruitment in an organization, various sources of recruitment, what is selection as different from recruitment, how does a selection process get conducted in an organization, what is induction, and in the structure, six parts are there: 4.1, nature and importance of recruitment; 4.2, process of recruitment; 4.3, various sources of recruitment; 4.4, selection; 4.5, process of selection; and 4.6, induction and orientation. And we sum up with the summary, right? So let's get on with it. Hiring of employees is an ongoing dynamic process. In a company, hiring employees, taking in employees, recruiting and selecting is a very common and an ongoing dynamic process. Why dynamic? People join, people leave, so I need replacements. Company is growing, I need more people. So it's an ongoing process, it's a dynamic in nature. Now anything that is dynamic, anything that is ongoing needs to be stable. Please understand this very clearly. Anything that is ongoing and dynamic needs to be stable. Every day you're going to the office, it's an ongoing process, it's a dynamic process, it keeps evolving. Now you must have a very fixed discipline of doing it properly, because it is ongoing, otherwise it will be a nuisance value. So hiring of employees is something that needs to be given careful attention, and it can't be done arbitrarily. Recruitment is a process for obtaining applications for jobs, so that the right people can be selected for this from this pool. Pool means the number of people who are shortlisted. Okay, success of a company depends on many factors, of which the key factor is manpower. Manpower ultimately makes or breaks the organization. So recruitment selection plays a very, very important role in, as a gatekeeper role, in which people are taken into the company after careful selection process, right? Recruitment helps a company to attract qualified and competent people through the advertisements, ensure the selected candidates stay longer within the company by ensuring that they are having a proper background record, etc. Ensure that there is a match between cost and benefit. There is a hiring cost and the benefit of the person contributing to the company's turnover through his job. Help the company create more culturally diverse workforce. It's through recruitment we are able to select from different regions, different backgrounds, different gender, and so we create a culturally diverse workforce. Okay? Now this is just an indicative diagram. All these processes need not be followed in every company, but just to show you a certain systematic way of doing things, this diagram has been depicted here. There's a preliminary interview. Selection test takes place. Employment interview. In a preliminary interview, I just have a peripheral idea about who you are, what you are. And the selection test takes place is a very old format, but I'm just showing you to explain how it flows. Employment interview, actual job which you're being hired for. If you're an IT engineer, then the IT employment interview is conducted to know how good you are in the domain skills or the technical skills for which you're being hired. Reference and background checks, selection decision is taken. Physical examination, which is basically medical tests performed on you have to go to a hospital, you have to go to a diagnostic center or to a hospital, the full checkup is done to see whether you're mentally, physically fit, emotionally fit also, to take up the job. Then the job offer is made, employment contract is signed, okay, and evaluation takes place. This is the methodology of doing it, but there are a lot of variations. So every company doesn't follow this in this particular pattern. I'll explain to you as I proceed in the module, right? Now we come to the process of recruitment. In simple terms, I formed this four steps to simplify the understanding of recruitment as different from selection. There are four steps. The first is communicating to the job market that the company needs people through advertisements, internet, word of mouth, etc. When they get the communication, applicants apply and company collects all the applications. So when you read an application, you think I should be eligible for the job, even if the specification sheet says something, but you say, let me try it. So there are people who are probable to apply and I get a number of applications. Third step in this process is the HR shortlists applicants based on the job specification sheet. It looks at the job spec sheet and it takes the applicants which are in line with it. Rest of it are kept on the side. Earlier days, they had to tear it and throw it away. But today, we don't do that. Today, a candidate who's not eligible for a job for which he has applied today may be eligible tomorrow because a new job may come. So let me have a data bank of candidates. That's a paradigm from where companies are operating today. Even recruitment agents. The fourth step in the process of recruitment is call letters for interviews sent to shortlisted applicants along with application blank. Application blank is a format in which you write your name, you affix your photograph, date of birth, etc., etc. It's all given in a very beautiful formatted form. So that becomes a standard for them to, and when you go for the interview, you carry it with you. So these four steps, with this, the process of recruitment ends. Recruitment planning. So before the recruitment takes place, I need to do some preparatory work. Manpower helps in deciding the number of job vacancies. Manpower planning, the word planning is missing. Manpower planning helps in deciding the number of job vacancies, whereas job analysis provides information on the nature of the vacancies. Two processes we learn in HR. One is manpower planning. The other one is job analysis. Manpower planning decides the number of job vacancies that we need to hire. And also it decides how many are leaving. It maps the movement of manpower into the company, within the company and outside. Job analysis tells you who's going to do what type of job. That's the nature of the vacancies. On the basis of this, HR department plans the number and the type of applicants to be contacted. So I got the information, the data from manpower planning and also from job analysis. Then I create how many people I need to do and at what levels. The HR does this ready. Organization needs to attract more applicants for the vacancies as some of the applicants may not be selected. It's very obvious. It is like throwing the fish net into the sea to catch fish. You want a certain fish, but all the fish will come. And then when you take it on the trawler, on the fishing trawler, you just segregate those fish which you don't want and you decide what to do with them. Either throw it back into the sea or you keep it to be given to somebody else who needs that fish. Okay? Something similar to that, right? Strategic development. Once the number and the type of recruits to be hired are known, HR department then decides the following. Whether they should hire less skilled employees and invest on their training. One way of doing it is, I hire a person who is not so well skilled, but we are sure of giving them a good training so that they become functional. The other is whether they should be highly skilled people, I take them, spend least on training or no, zero on training and make them functional immediately. It's what is called the make or buy decision. Make means I'm taking a raw hand or not so experienced person, then I'm making him into an experienced person. Buy means it's a ready-made thing, I'm directly taking it. So this decision has to be decided as a part of the strategic development. The HR department has to decide the method of recruitment and selection. What should I do? And for both these processes, recruitment and selection, they need to have what is called a recruitment policy and a selection policy. What does the policy do? The policy gives you guidelines as to how our company will operate. Every company will have its own policy. For example, in a company X, they may say, our recruitment policy says that the candidates who are not shortlisted, we will retain the application. That's a policy. In another company, they'll say, we will not call them again. So the policy decides how we are going to take the course of action. A blueprint is given so that anybody who sits in the recruitment selection table knows how to go about doing it. It gives you a frame of reference, a norm, right? The HR department also has to decide from where the applicants are to be recruited. Geography. Not only geography, also which company, which type of thing. These are called as a fishing pond. Where do I fish for them? They have to decide this also. Number four, whether recruitment has to happen through internal, external or combination. The recruitment process can happen internal to the organization. There are certain vacancies in the company wherein I don't have to take anybody from outside. It may be X getting promoted to a higher level, so I can recruit somebody from inside. So I just put it in the company notice board, in the intranet, and I communicate to the people, all those who are eligible, please apply. External recruitment means I recruit from outside. So under certain circumstances, internal is favorable. Under certain circumstances, internal is not favorable. And similarly, external. Okay? Or it could be a combination. I may be taking certain positions internally, certain positions from outside. When a vacancy is very urgently to be filled up, they may go for internal. When the vacancy is about a job which is very sensitive in nature, company secrets, R&D, wherein they don't want an external person to come in, they may take internally. Just to give you a thumb rule. However, internal people, when they are recruited, when they are taken in, they know the culture, they are going from one function to another function, and they may not infuse fresh thoughts and fresh blood, fresh thinking, fresh innovative ideas. They are also knowing the culture, so they may be not very dynamic, they may be sluggish. External, when you hire, it's good. Fresh blood, new blood comes in with a brand new idea, and they may pump in new ideas, although it may create conflict with the existing people. Okay, and these external people, when they come, they can take off because they are completely new to the whole thing. At the same time, external will have conflicts with existing people who may not like them. External will take some time to adjust to the adapt to the culture of the company, and this may have a problem. So one has to counterweigh both and decide. This is largely decided by the recruitment selection policy. Number five, HR department has to also to decide when the recruitment selection is to happen, the time. I need people in the month of April. So I need to know when should I start the recruitment process. It should be well before April, maybe January, maybe December last year. So that is a very important timeline to be taken. In large companies, IT companies, for example, they are hiring in thousands in a year. And there the recruitment selection process is a science. They have to do it extremely, extremely careful. They are handling mega projects. For each project, there are a number of people who are required. And there is always an attrition. People have to be replaced. So all this is a huge, complex process. So the timing is very important when the recruitment should start. Okay? Then comes the searching. It begins after the line managers confirm that they need an employee. The company has to decide the type of media to be used for broadcasting the recruitment message. Media can be print media. It can be the LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever way, or it can be word of mouth. It can be some other that media which they think is going to be effective. Okay. Screening. Screening refers to the scrutinization and the shortlisting of applications received. Once I get the applications, I shortlist it. I've already told you in the earlier part. The process of screening is to filter out the applicants that are not suitable for the job as per the job specification. For this purpose, we need clear job specification which can be compared with knowledge, skills and abilities of the applicants. Popularly, we call it KSA, knowledge, skills and abilities of the applicants. Interviews and applications are often used to screen walk-ins. The system of walk-in at a very junior level, when I want operation staff as soon as possible ASAP, I may advertise for walk-in, just walk-in, meet the concerned person and interviews are taken, applications are filled up and they are taken in. Interviews and resumes are used by campus recruitment recruiters and consultants to seek job seekers. So this is very common. I don't have to explain this to you. Evaluation and control. Recruitment process is evaluated on the basis of number of applications received, the number of candidates who attended the selection process, the cost of the recruitment process. I may have to go to some campus in other city. I may spend money in traveling, staying in some hotel or something. So that's a cost that adds to the recruitment process. The number of candidates retained after the probation period. There's a thing called a probation period. When you join a company, you are not a confirmed employee because you are in the testing period. That testing period is a probation period. So after the probation is over, certain people are asked to go. Majority of them are asked to stay back. So how many candidates have been retained after the probation is one more thing that you need to check. Or rather count and calibrate. The performance of the candidates selected. Now these are some of the points given. There are many points which I can add on. Ultimately, I need to know whether have I done a proper recruit? Have I selected the proper candidate? This is easily said than done because it's highly subjective when you're doing a selection process. There are so many biases that come unknowingly. Strictly speaking, selection should be an objective process, but somewhere the subjectivity comes into picture of the person who's selecting or the person who's interviewing. Okay, and then I may not get the ideal candidate at all. Nobody gets it. Then I have to tweak it and make the person grow. He starts fitting into this culture and gradually you train him into absorbing the culture and becoming operational. Now there's another depiction which is shown here. Internal sources. How do I take internal sources? Present employees, employee reference and past employees. Very simple, easy to understand. So now in the next slide, we'll show the present employee. What are the external sources? What are the present employees? External sources, I go to professional bodies, advertisements. Let me go to the earlier one. I'm sorry. Internal sources, present employees, employee reference and past employees. You can see that the chart out there. Internal sources, there are three of them. Okay. Now I'm going back to the next slide again. Here I'm showing you external sources, professional bodies. You know, like we have NASSCOM, it's a professional body for IT companies. So I go to them, I may ask for candidates from there. They may have a data bank. Advertisements, employment exchanges, campus recruitment, walk-ins, consultants, these are for very senior positions. Contractors who are engaging recruitment process in masses, in numbers. For a BPO, you may be going to a contractor. Or somebody, a bank may be wanting number of people at the operation level, but not on their payroll, so they go to a contractor, right? Acquisition, radio and television, acquisition and mergers. When a company is being acquired by another company or merging with another company, that's a time when there'll be some people who are looking for jobs. So through this, I come to know an external source from where I can recruit. Then comes competitors. I can go and approach, not competitor directly. I know who's working with the competitors. Today, news is very open. I go to LinkedIn, I see who's my competitor managers. I can contact them directly. This is also called as poaching in some context when you're doing it illegally. But this is a very common thing that happens. Job portals, monster.com, you must have come across many such portals where they advertise the jobs and you approach that also. And then previous applicants. Like I told you, certain applicants who have been rejected in the earlier ones, I keep them on the side. So I can bring them back, awaken them, and then try to look whether we can call them for interviews. Okay? Now the selection process. Recruitment and selection are two sides of the same coin. Recruitment refers to the process of attracting job seekers. So many people are applying, I'm calling, I'm inviting it. So everything comes to me because I've advertised to the world. After that, I have to screen. Selection refers to the process of choosing the right candidate. Selection process that follows recruitment is more of an elimination process and is designed in various formats depending upon the recruitment policies, needs, levels, and urgency. So we can't say that this selection process is the correct process. The company has to decide through its selection policy, through the urgency of the need, and the level at which they want to hire the person. If you want to hire a person at a very senior level, it may take a long time. You initiate the selection process today, that person may, you may get a right candidate after 6 months. After that, the another biggest challenge is that person may not join. It can happen. So it's a very tricky thing, right? Now the process of selection is again given as a depiction here. We don't have to really follow this all the time. It is a depiction for the purpose of discussion. So we go through a preliminary interview. It may happen as a preliminary interview, or you may have a panel interview directly. Or you may have the HR person with a preliminary interview followed by the interview by the HOD or the department to which you are eligible to join. Then the selection test may take place. It may take place in some cases. It may not take place in other cases. For example, in a campus interview, we have selection tests. But for a middle or a senior management, you don't need a selection test. Employment interview about the job proper, reference and background check. Selection decision is given, taken or not taken, or we let you know in a day or two or in a month or week or whatever. Physical examination, again, same thing. I go through the entire body checkup, etc., and see whether I'm capable, physically fit and emotionally fit to join the company. The job offer is made through a offer letter. Employment contract is given in terms of contractual labor, contractual people. And finally, the evaluation is done, how the selection process has happened. The evaluation has to be done by the HR people post-selection to determine whether the selection has been proper, the right person has come for the right job or not. Okay? Then comes two important processes which are neglected in many companies, unfortunately. I won't say many companies, quite a few. Induction and orientation are designed to provide new employees with the necessary information that they will need to function comfortably and effectively in an organization. Induction and orientation are designed to provide new employees with the necessary information that they will need to function comfortably and effectively in an organization. Let's take induction. Induction is a process through which the newly hired employee is initiated into getting familiar and comfortable with the company culture. This is a human side. Induction is taking care of the human side of the employee, because he is a person who's coming in, he's come to a new place. So it may be a little odd for him. So making him feel comfortable, you know, giving him that induction and making him go through different departments and get familiar with the culture. Induction conveys the following information about the work routine, about the organization, about the organization's policy, work rules, and employee benefits. In orientation, what am I doing? It's a process that follows induction in which the newly inducted employee is oriented to the job activities and requirements by assigning him or her on the job duties to be accomplished. Usually, orientation in many companies are on the job. They put you on the job and they still tell you start working now. And you don't know anything about what you're doing to begin with. So it is like swim or sink. So you learn on the job and you make your mistakes. Now you're in the probation period, so you're allowed to make mistakes. And you get the guidance of the senior or the supervisor you're reporting to. So thereby, they start polishing you to take charge after the probation period is over. Although it appears to be a trial and error learning period, orientation period is used to make the new inductee to learn and adapt real-time issues by making him or her accountable. Let's face it, when you want to learn swimming, you have to go and jump in the water. You may make your mistakes, you may have water, it'll get pumped out, etc. But that's one very good way of orienting a person in a new job. First time, just do it and make your mistakes. Allow the person to take a risk and reward the risk by giving him further encouragement so that he doesn't make mistakes for the second time. A good culture will do this. In an orientation, I don't give the luxury of putting him in 6 months by trial. No, I actually make him do the job which is assigned to do later on. Right? So I end this with a summary of this small chapter. Recruitment is a process of searching for and obtaining applications for jobs so that the right people can be selected from the pool of job seekers. The process of recruitment involves planning, strategy, development, searching, screening, and evaluation and control. Sources of recruitment could either be internal within the organization or external outside the organization. The most popular method of recruitment are advertisements in the newspapers, consultants, walk-ins, and campus recruitment. Selection refers to the process of picking the right candidate from the pool of applications. The final selection is generally done by the human resources departments in consultation with the line managers. Selection process consists of 8 steps, starting from preliminary interview and ending with the evaluation of selection process. Induction is done to provide new employees with the necessary information that he will need to function effectively in an organization. So while I'm putting my thank you to you, I would like to also remind you one thing, that this particular chapter on recruitment selection is a basically guideline. So one may wonder that, you know, you haven't covered this, you haven't covered that. Now, this is an art. Every company will have its own recruitment selection way of doing things. So everything cannot be captured in one book or one chapter. So you'll find that there are some guidelines given to you. What is most important is that you must know the methodology of how to do it based on your company's needs and requirements and your policies on recruitment and selection. Thank you very much.